Australia's change of Prime Minister brought a series of changes in the Cabinet, with former Minister of Defence, Maurice Payne, taking over as the Minister of Foreign Affairs. The Wire's Alex Jacobs spoke to David Olney, an associate at Sage International Australia, about what the upheaval all means for Australia and its neighbours, including China.
I think what's important at the moment with what's happened in Australian politics is not just that we've had a change of Prime Minister, but we've seen other ministers move around. And in the region we're in, the Indo-Pacific, where there are a lot of security issues at the moment, it's very interesting to see that we've had a long-term defence minister become our Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade. So what we're seeing is someone with a big background in security who understands the regional security issues moving into diplomacy, where instead of potentially being able to respond to the security issues in an overt defence-related way, we now have to see how a new foreign affairs minister will transition to using diplomacy as a way to perhaps softly get to good outcomes rather than rely on military alliances with America.
Already we've seen some of the comments by Maurice Payne regarding China's military presence in the South China Sea. They've gotten a little bit of negative media attention over there. Do you think that's just some tentative steps of her coming into this new role, trying to just work that diplomacy?
I think it's a case that there will have to be a decision taken of should we continue to do softly diplomacy, which the Chinese take as tacit approval to do whatever they want to do next, or whether having been in the defence role, she is more willing to draw a line in the sand that says, all right, you've got regional interests, China, and that is totally reasonable. But at a certain point, you stretch well and truly beyond national interests, national geographical claims, and into essentially just a desire for control. And I think she is more likely to draw that line with her security background than Julie Bishop was, who'd been playing the softly game.
Do you think then she is the best placed person to have been put into this role?
I think she was the best placed person to go into the role in a hurry, being that there are major meetings on this week that a foreign minister had to go to. So at least we have someone that knows all the players, knows the stakes, understands the security, and even though she'll have to learn the trade side of it, in reality, defence is always a form of foreign affairs in the same way that foreign affairs is always a question of security.
Probably some of the things we have seen is a recent announcement of the Chinese telecom giants such as Huawei that they'll no longer be able to come in and do 5G networks due to some issues and worries about security. Is that sort of a step forward into saying, hey, we're going to take this stronger step in ourselves to prove better defence here?
Which is a stronger step in sort of two ways. One, to say that it's difficult to see where the Chinese government ends and Chinese corporations start, in that they're so intertwined. And secondly, that being the Chinese government uses telecommunications to surveil its own population, why would we assume that a company heavily linked to the Chinese government would do any different in another location? Instead of doing what we've done in the past, which is just assume everyone is going to behave in accordance with global norms on don't surveil your neighbours overtly, maybe with China we'll have to spell it out. So what we're seeing here may not be a permanent thing of excluding the Chinese or being constantly mistrustful, but saying in an area of competition and security threat, we need very clear guidelines.
So they're looking to bring in a clause potentially which could give them the power if Australia wants to do any military exercises in the South China Sea. Is that, again, something about Australia really making sure it's stamping its own authority in the region?
It's about acknowledging that globally we're little, but regionally, we're big. To someone like Fiji or the Solomon Islands, we look a bit like a superpower. Now, that seems ridiculous to us because we're used to being a minnow in comparison to the United States or China. But we need to remember that we can have a big influence, a big positive influence on the region if we make careful, well-thought-out decisions. All the things we say we stand for, we now actually have to decide, do we mean them and what are we going to do to maintain them?
For the Liberals, with Maurice Payne in this position, does it look like a chance for them to get all of this political upheaval behind them and really take a positive step forward in the public that they're making some good steps politically with our neighbours?
I think it was very important that they got people like Maurice Payne in a position where she would be obvious, because at least that way you're suggesting continuity. So if we look back to when Maurice Payne and Chris Pine were arguing amongst themselves over which bit of the defence portfolio they had responsibility for, that looked pretty tragic. So now to have Chris Pine doing defence and have Maurice Payne doing foreign affairs and trade, you've got two people who understand Canberra, understand the world, understand the process, both able to get on with putting their best foot forward, which is a way to make an unstable government look far more stable than it probably is.
David Olney, associate at Sage International Australia, speaking to The Wire's Alex Jacobs.